All right. So today we're going to continue our series. It's called Undimmed Eyes. So today's is called Undimmed Eyes Part 2. Okay? And yeah, that's the best title I could come up with, Part 2. So the main scripture we'll look at is from Matthew 13. So let's start there, okay? And thanks, Daniel, for printing this out. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and then the interpretation of that parable, verses 18 through 23. Okay? All right, so this is called the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house, sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then I'm going to skip to verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. So the disciples ask Jesus, why do you speak in parables? And this is his answer. So hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he who has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. And this week, we're going to look at the rocky ground. Okay, and obviously, none of us are saying, yeah, my heart is like the rocky ground, right? I mean, all of us hopefully are saying, yeah, my heart is like the good soil, so the seed can bear fruit 100-fold, okay? But we're going to just look at the aspects of the rocky ground and see what we can learn from it, okay? And so I'm going to use this board here. And let's see what we notice here. So verse 5, other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. Okay? I'm going to draw. So here's the ground. Okay? And there's four types of soil that we're going to just compare and contrast the second and the fourth. So the rocky soil, it says that it didn't have a lot of depth. So presumably there was some soil here, but there were rocks below. Okay, so it didn't have depth of soil. So it was shallow. It was shallow. And so the seed fell. I don't know what a seed looks like that. Okay. And it grew, started growing,
But there was not much room for roots. Okay? Maybe this was also rocky ground.
Okay? And so immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Okay?
So it grew, which is good, which is a good thing. When the sun came, it died.
Okay.
On the other hand, the good soil, it says that we don't know what it looks like underneath.
Okay?
But presumably, it grew lots of roots. Okay? And it was able to grow. And actually, when I read it, I thought it was a tree, but it's actually grain. So I don't actually know what a grain looks like. But let's just, for example, let's just pretend it's a tree. Okay? And so it grew 100-fold, grew very big. Okay? And to grow that big, it needed the roots to support its growth. Okay? This is very obvious. I'm not saying anything, no revelation. It's just obvious stuff. Okay? Now, I think that if you're coming to Bible study, you all want this to happen and not that to happen, right? Okay. So let's ask. So how do we, in order to support a tree this big, I think we all know this, right? You need the roots to be just as big, okay? But the thing about the roots is you don't see the roots, right? You only see the tree. And a lot of times in the Christian life, we can focus up here. We're trying to focus, like, how's my life changing? What's happening, right? But actually, so the kingdom of God is like this. The seed comes into the soil, it grows, and there's an invisible part, and it supports the tree growth, okay? I'm going to just share another scripture here that's going to shed a little light into this. So the next scripture I have here is Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. It says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." And this is kind of an inverse way of looking at it. Okay? So in the parable of the sower, it talks about how the seed comes into the soil, into someone's life, and gets established. Okay? In Colossians 2, it's talking about how we get rooted and established in Christ. Okay? And so I'm going to call this the road to being established in Christ. And what I'm going to say is that the road to being established in Christ has to do with, here's the seed, and it's trying to grow these roots, okay? But along the path, it is going to hit, I wish I had another color, but this is the seed. It's actually going to hit what I'm going to call stones. Okay?
Because all of our, okay, unless you're a perfect person already, then you have stones. We have stones in our heart. Okay? That's just a fact. Okay? And now here's the good news. Okay? The good news is I have the next scripture here. Ezekiel 36:26, and this is in the Old Testament, but it points to the New Covenant, okay? And it says that, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh," okay? So remember last week we talked about how the human condition after the fall, it's of a dull heart. Okay? And
The scripture uses lots of different analogies to describe that. And another way of putting it is, you have a heart of stone. But it says that God will take that stone out and give it a heart of flesh. Okay? He'll make it receptive to his presence, his influence, his love, okay? His molding, okay? And so the good news, guys, is if there's a lot of stones in your heart, God is in the process of making it flesh. He's in the process of removing it, but it's not just that God does it, but we get to respond positively to that, okay? Thanks, Daniel. Now, I can go on forever describing the different kinds of stones that we might find in our heart, okay? But I just wrote down a couple of categories, okay? One category of stones in our heart is what I call it's a hardness of heart. These are areas of our heart that are stubborn. Okay? And these are areas where it's like we know the right thing, but we can't do it on our own. It's just hard to do it. Okay? And another kind of area is what I'm going to call blind spots. And these are things that we don't even know that is wrong with us. So we're blind to it. Okay? Now, if there are people close to you, they know about it. But you don't know about it. Okay, that is called blind spots. Okay? And so, when the seed hits that, it can't grow its roots. Okay? Now, God, by his grace, okay, he shines his light on these, okay? And that's why the series is called Undimmed Eyes. He shines his light on these things. And so, one, you know, like if you shine a flashlight, like I'm going to try to draw a flashlight here. I don't know, something like that, right? It shines a light, right? The point of the light is not necessarily for you to like look into the light, right? Like you would, the point of the light is to shed light on an object, okay? And so God's word is like a light, and so when it shines, it shines on something, some area of our life, okay? And so, for example. And this can be all kinds of areas. I'm just going to write down a whole bunch of things here. It's not exhaustive, but... And these are areas into which God has spoken to me. So, for example, he might speak into my career plans. He might speak into finances, okay? How I spend my time. How I relate to my wife. How I relate to my kids, my parenting, right? I gave an example of that last week. How I relate to people at work, okay? How I relate to the church. All of these things, we go into these with our best, we do the best we can with what we know, okay? But the thing about the Christian life is that God is constantly shining his light and training us. He'll speak into this and he'll show us what to do. What else? He'll even speak into my fears, my temptations, the way I think, the way I feel. My choices. Yeah. So my point here is that his light shines into everything, to every area of life, okay?
I'm going to just talk about the Old Testament speaks of the wise and the foolish. Okay? Talks about wise people and foolish people. And a way to succinctly describe the wise is that when truth presents itself, a wise person sees the light, he takes it in, and makes adjustments. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what a wise person does. Okay? Mm-hmm. A foolish person, on the other hand, tries to adjust the truth so he does not have to adjust to it. Okay, so that's the difference between a wise person and a foolish person in the Old Testament. Okay? So a wise person, when he gets a kernel of truth, or he gets, let's say, feedback from somebody else, he embraces it. He says, oh, thank you. And he says, okay, what is that person trying to tell me? Right? A wise person takes responsibility for his actions. Okay? A wise person does not blame the other person or blame the circumstances or excuses his behavior, but he says, oh, okay, I did that. Maybe there were reasons, but nevertheless, I accept my responsibility. A wise person shows remorse. A wise person asks the question, so based on this, how can I do something differently in the future? How can I do better in the future? Okay? And because of that, a wise person doesn't let problems turn into patterns of problems. Okay? Because he's able to receive that feedback, adjust to it, and align himself to that. Okay? The wise person begins to form a different kind of relationship with the truth, or the person speaking the truth. The wise person appreciates it, and that relationship begins to grow. Okay? So a wise person might hear the most critical thing, right? They might receive a harsh, maybe not a harsh feedback, but constructive feedback. And they won't be upset, but they'll say thank you, and they'll grow in relationship. They'll appreciate that. Okay? A foolish person wants to do nothing, so the wise person becomes closer to the truth. Okay? And if God is the messenger of the truth, the wise person is coming to love God. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. A foolish person, he wants to do nothing different. He doesn't want to change. He is never wrong. It's always someone else's fault. Okay? The foolish person is often defensive, okay, and will try to shoot the messenger, okay, and will try to, yeah, do anything to not receive the truth, so he doesn't have to adjust, and he'll make excuses. They'll often paint themselves as the victim in the situation, okay, and the foolish person, because of that, will not develop a relationship with the truth or the person bringing the truth. So the foolish person will become alienated, okay, and will alienate the truth. So I'm going to move on to the next scripture, which is John 15, okay? And this talks about, I'll just read that. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away,
And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Okay? And I'm going to underline there, prunes. You guys see that word prunes? Prunes. Okay? He says, and this is talking about what God does to the branches. Okay? And so this is Jesus talking about us and what God is going to do to us. And he says that every branch that bears fruit, okay, he prunes. But it's so that it may bear more fruit. Okay? So that's kind of interesting to me that when this tree is beginning to show signs of life, fruit, he prunes it. Ouch. Right? So that it may bear more fruit. Okay? The next scripture here is 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Okay? And the word that I want to underline there is correction. Correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Okay? And this is God's way of training us. It says he does that through correction. Okay? And again, it's not pruning for pruning's sake. It's not correction for correction's sake, just to prove that we're wrong. But it's that the man of God or the woman of God may become complete, equipped for every good work. There's a purpose to this. Okay? And so, let's tie it all together now, okay? God's desire is for us to become a fruitful tree. Okay? But in order to do that, he needs to grow the roots in us. Okay? And we said that the problem here is that we have these stones in our heart. And by God's grace, he's softening these, but there's a response that's required of us. And that response is, how do we respond to the corrections? Okay? How do we respond to the prunings? How do we respond to him shining his light on different things in our lives? And will we adjust to that? Will we submit to that? Or will we be stubborn? Okay? And I'll just share a story before we break up about how this is all the grace of God in my life, but how he showed me from the beginning that the best posture to have with God is to be in a posture of, yeah, being corrected and embracing that, okay? And so, when I became a Christian in college, but soon after that, I was stuck as a Christian, okay? And the reason that I was stuck was because my heart was full of bitterness, actually, okay? And it completely swallowed up all my feelings. The bitterness swallowed up all my feelings. And the reason is that I became bitter at a person. I was pretty bitter at a person. And I'll just give you a quick history, okay? So there was this is my first year in college, and it has to do with a woman, and she was one of the first friends I had in college, okay? And, you know, when you go to college, you meet a bunch of people and you settle into little groups and you kind of stay friends for a while. And she was in that initial group. And we had good chemistry, okay? So we liked each other, but it didn't pan out, and that's a different story, okay? But we were still friends. And initially, you know, we both went to Bible study together. We had similar majors, and I became more serious as a Christian, but she began to taper off, okay? But we were friends, and I considered her a good friend. And near the end of the first semester, I remember before Christmas, we went to the city together, and we shopped for our families, and we had a good time, okay? And that's kind of how the first semester ended. But what happened is that right after that, her brother died. Her brother died. He overdosed on drugs. Okay, it was a very sad thing. And I had heard that, but then when the new semester began, there was this awkwardness. I didn't know how to relate to her anymore, and we just drifted even more. Okay? I don't know if, you know, imagine an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, and the brother dies of OD, and I did not have the maturity to know what to do and how to relate. And so the separation awkwardness between her and me, it just grew, okay? But I think the thing is that I still had feelings, okay? I had feelings. And so I felt hurt by this growing separation. I thought she was just like, just dumping me as a friend, okay? And not only that, she decided to join a sorority. Okay? And so that felt like another slap in my face. She was saying, you know, I'm going to develop new friends. Mm-hmm. Okay? And, you know, sororities have fraternities, and there's guys, and that made me even more upset that she'll be making friends with, you know, she'll have new girlfriends, she'll have all these other guys in her life. And so it... Yeah, I was not a happy guy. I was not a happy guy, and I was stuck. And but thank God, the grace of God was working in my life. Okay, and He obviously wanted the roots to grow, but it was stuck at that point. Somehow, I don't know how, but I ended up at a prayer meeting. Okay, and I ended up, and I didn't know how to pray or anything, but I ended up just confessing my bitterness of heart. I just said, God, I confess my bitterness of heart. And somehow that opened up this flood of tears, and I started crying. And I think in it was some forgiving her for a way she had hurt me. Okay? But actually, the deeper thing in hindsight is that involved a couple of things. So it involved a little bit of pruning. Because when I did that, what I realized was that I had to let her go as a friend. Because she obviously was not choosing into the friendship. She was going somewhere else. And it was stupid of me to want her to reciprocate the friendship. She obviously didn't want it. And she had every right to go. But I had become bitter about it. And so it was... The light bulb went on. It's like, I actually have to let her go. I have no right to be bitter. And so that was a part of pruning that happened for me. There was also correction involved for me as well. And what I realized was that in reality, I was actually a horrible friend to her. I didn't know how to be a good friend to someone who had just lost a brother. And I was just being selfish, right? I was just like, why isn't she talking to me? When in fact that she might have been thinking, why doesn't Ji Hong know even how to relate to me, right? It was my immaturity. I was focused on myself. And out of that, I had just judged her and thought that she was a mean person and begun to form thoughts, this whole network of thoughts and feelings that were just off base, right? And so all of that, in that moment, God was dealing with me. So he had to prune that relationship. He had to correct my thoughts and my feelings about that. And actually, you know, once that happened, and I began to embrace that way of looking at things, the peace of God filled my heart, okay? The bitterness was completely gone, and the peace of God filled my heart. That I had never known something like that ever in my life, but the peace of God filled my heart, and that really changed my life forever. That was the beginning of my Christian walk, okay? A little postscript is that a few years later, after that, actually we started to run into each other on campus. And, you know, you just run into people and then you're at the library and they run into you and they sit next to you and you start talking. And it started happening a lot. I don't know why. But, and she started to talk to me, and I felt like she was like asking me to do stuff with her. And I really couldn't understand her intentions. But by then, the work was done. The work of pruning had been done. The work of correction had been done. I had no bitterness. I had no interest. I was tempted, but I knew God had something else. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't. I just moved on. Okay? And so what I want to point to is that I think for all of us here, right, we all want to be established in Christ, okay? And knowing about that isn't sufficient, okay? It's how we respond day to day, okay? And we talked about this last week, is that who we are, okay, or who I am, it's because of all the little choices that I've made, okay? And I haven't made good choices all the time. I've made bad choices. But there are certain good choices when we embrace the way of the wise person, okay? And we embrace the truth, and we are willing to change our lives, okay? We adjust ourselves to the truth, not adjust the truth so it conforms to our life. When that happens, a beautiful thing begins to happen. Is that the roots grow where there was a stone there, okay? Each choice we make, okay, how we respond to God's dealing in our life, these roots begin to grow, okay? And when, after time, these roots, before we know it, if we focus here, the tree will be up there and it'll be well supported. We all know what happens without the roots. The tree can grow, or we fall, but it'll fall. Okay? And so, I'm going to leave that with you, and we're going to break up into small groups. And here are the two questions, okay, on the back. Number one is, how might you respond differently the next time you sense the root hitting up against a stone? Okay? How might you respond differently to God's pruning or correcting? Okay? And I'd encourage you to think of ways. Are there ways? I know this could be a little harsh. Are there ways that we are a little bit like the foolish person? Are there ways that we are stubborn? And there are things that we refuse to listen to, right? Maybe we need to listen to them. Maybe it's even the wrong person bringing that truth, right? Did you have a question, Tammy?
Yes. Can you just, so we're all on the same page, define...
Okay. Define fruit.
I didn't hear that.
define fruit. What that's what the ultimate goal is, right? So we want to get more fruit by doing all this that we're doing. So that's come up a couple times just in the last couple weeks with other people I've talked to. So
yeah.
It's interesting that it's here. So
right, because
right, there's fruit up here, right?
What's an example? Let's ask the audience. What's an example of a fruit?
Spiritual gifts.
Blessings.
Okay.
Blessings.
Well, the general term of positive yield.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, for example, a fruit might be from the story that I shared. I would say that the fruit that God bore in my life through that was I learned how to deal righteously in relationships. Okay? So right relationships with another, peaceful relationships with another, that's a fruit. Okay? Right? That should be a fruit of the Christian life, right? Christian life should be marked by, doesn't mean we're just nice people, but we should have right relationships, even when we don't get along, right? So I learned how to have, you know, because one thing I didn't share about this is that I had a really close friend that freshman year, and he was also bitter. And we were going down the same road, but he stayed on the road of bitterness. And I opened my heart to God, okay? And when I met him as a senior, he was still a bitter dude, okay? And so peace, joy, fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, love, patience, goodness, right?
Gentleness, kindness,
right? Fruit could also mean, you know, there could be fruit from the ministry, right? People becoming Christians, people's lives being changed, right?
Or your awareness changed because you saw your situation differently.
Yeah.
And more compassionate.
Yeah. In a way, our lives become a fruit that brings glory to God when there's change in our lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, any other questions? Sorry.
No, I just want to say that there's a word here that I think that really should compel us to grasp how important this is, and that is that the man of God may be complete.
Yeah.
We see that in 1 Thessalonians, it says, may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved, be made complete.
Yeah.
Without blame for the coming of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
We are part of his creation.
We were
created in those 6 days, and the seventh day rested, but we're the part of his creation that was interrupted.
Right.
And so there's a place of completion
right.
that he wants to bring us to because he has a purpose for us.
Right, right, right. That's good, right? Because if we're not complete, then we'll look like this. And I will look like that. Okay, because our roots will only be here. We haven't allowed him to grow those roots there, right? So that is part of being complete, right? And we can go on and on about what does it mean to be complete, okay? Yeah, thank you. Let's take some more questions, because this is good. Maybe I went too fast. So
I think we have to ask ourselves, we're talking about being or wanting to be complete in Christ, we have to ask ourselves, who am I? Who am I because of Jesus Christ in my life? And who am I because of family I grew up in? Because it's all of those things. It's like in the garden story, pride, rejection, fear, shame, and the blame game. And those things have perpetuated themselves for centuries.
Yeah.
Which leads to hardness of heart, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And more.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of things, like in my marriage with Amanda, we've been married almost 20 years, okay? So we've gone through a lot, okay? But, see, there are areas of our heart where we feel absolutely right, okay? But it's, and in the world's, from the world's angle, worldview, it's right. But then in the light of God and his word, it's actually not right. So we have to give that up. That's a hard thing to do. Okay? There are certain things that with kids as they grow up, there are certain things I'm like, it has to be like this. And then I realize, second thought, where did that come from? I don't know. So I have to adjust myself, right? And that was the example I gave last week, right? Is that I have to constantly adjust myself to God's word, mm-hmm. Okay? Otherwise, I'll just do what's best in my own eyes, okay? So, yeah, I think we have to ask ourselves, are there ways that we are foolish? Okay? I bet you that all of us should be able to come up with one.
Yeah.
Okay? The key is how would you respond differently? Okay? So that's a question that we ask at VCF a lot is, what do I do differently? Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's actually a very beautiful question when you think about it. Because you're saying, in light of God, how do I do differently? Okay? So that's what questions one's getting at. Question number two is there an area of your heart that you would like to open more fully to God? Okay? And when you're in the presence of other people, the presence of God is a great chance to just say, you know what? I feel God wants to do more here. And just share that. Okay? And what does that look like specifically? Okay?
Now we're going to break into... Well, thank you, Tihan. Sure. Now we're going to break into our groups. So we have five groups, and the group leaders are Mary and Jose, and you'll be meeting on the couches. And then we have Mona and Tammy, and then Hepzibah and Mercy, and then Jihan, and then Pat and myself. So select the group that you like to meet with, and we'll go until 9:30, and feel free to close in your groups and pray if you like. Before we go. And also please grab some food and snacks. Thanks, Simona, for bringing it. And that's it. So, any questions?
Right.
All right, ready to go.